So let us pray. God of abundance, sometimes we live with a mentality of scarcity, where fear is able to take hold in our hearts and tell us that we don't have enough, that we aren't enough, that we are alone, and that so many things are impossible. But when we see the goodness of your creation, we see that you have provided us with abundance. Abundance that requires us to nurture and care for one another and the world that surrounds us. So in this moment, may you be the grace that washes over us with hope as we continue our time together. Amen. So the big question this week is, how shall we live when lavished with love? We know that God so loves us and all of creation, and that we can see all of God's love around us. How do we then live because of that? Between last week and this week, we've missed where John has defined why he was writing. He's writing because there's these false teachers, and because of the false teachers, many people left the community to follow the false teachers instead. We don't know exactly what the false teachings were, but we see in chapter 2 and later in chapter 3 that John is using empire language as he talks about how they have the power to overcome the evil one, or conquered the evil one because of God abiding in them. And when he critiques the way of the world, he's critiquing how Rome had acquired its power through abuse, oppression, and hoarding. And so we see that the community is being pulled apart by false teachers that seem to be more closely aligned with the ways of Rome than the ways of Christ. And John offers us a single solution. We are God's children. And the way that we live as God's children is so confusing to the powers of Rome. Rome expects the pursuit of wealth and power. Rome expects us to remain isolated and to fight for our own flourishing, but not care about the flourishing of others. Rome expects you to not care when others are being persecuted because they weren't following the rules, or they don't belong here, or they don't fit into our cultural norms, because at least they aren't trying to make life harder for me. But children of God are called to live knowing that each of our individual liberations are tied to one another. None of us are free till all of us are free, so we take care of one another, seeing the image of the divine in each person that we encounter, regardless of how easy or hard that may be. And sometimes when it's harder, the first step is to find that breath, to take a deep breath before you say the next sentence that you really need the breath to figure out what it should be, because the words you want to say are not camp appropriate, right? I was talking to my co-counselor this week about how high schoolers are uniquely gifted at making sure I take lots of intentional breaths. And I can imagine the same type of thing for these people in John's community. We can imagine the same type of thing because he's talking to a community that's divided. One decided to live with the powers of Rome more so, and the other wanted to live with the way of Christ. And all of them claim that they are Christ followers. And that sounds like the division of the Christian church in America. And that tension of people leaving the community to follow a different way feels like the larger disaffiliation that happened over the past couple years in the United Methodist Church. And so, being children of God, and that being the solution to all of this, feels confusing to the readers. They have felt like they have been conquered, that they have lost. You remember their temple was destroyed, and everything that they held valuable for their sacred identity felt like it no longer remained. And then this community, the people that they loved and did life with, is being split. And yet, John calls them conquerors. John knows that despite how conquered we feel, that we are on our way to being like God. Our Orthodox siblings refer to this as theosis. You might have also heard it described as deification or divinization, which are like really fancy, fancy words. But St. Athanasius describes it pretty simple. He talks about how in Jesus, God became man so that man might become God. That God's sanctifying grace works in and through us so that we may become more and more like God each day. So that each deep breath that I take is easier than the one before it, because taking the time to pause and think before I respond when my emotions are rising becomes the norm. John Wesley essentially calls this moving on to perfection. He believed, and this is where I feel like I don't always agree with John Wesley, but he believed that we could achieve Christian perfection in our lifetime. And that feels hard when I look at the world. But he reminds us that God's grace is unbounded. And so, of course, it's possible to happen, because it's not about us doing it, it's about God doing that through us. And so, as children of God, African theologian Samuel M. Negwa notices that John is telling us that our embodiment of being children of God is manifested in three ways. Purity of life, so living in a way that best tries to exemplify being like Christ. Our love for others, because it's not just about ourselves, but how do we relate to and love one another. And also distance from the ways of the world, or the ways of Rome, the ways of empire, the ways that divide us and tell us that people are not worthy of God's love. So because we are lavished with the love of God as children of God, we seek to be God's love in the world, which, as a good old Methodist, is going to take me back to John Wesley's three simple rules. Do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. This past week at camp, when the storms rolled through on Thursday, we introduced the high schoolers to the hit television show The Good Place. And if you ever wondered, could you watch the entire first season of The Good Place with a room full of high schoolers in a single day? The answer is yes, and you'll be done by 11:30 p.m. But that whole show across four seasons wrestles with, what does it mean to do good things? What does it mean to resist evil and do less harm to one another? And in the best part of this past week is that these kids are like, okay, so how do I watch the rest of this? And it gets deeper and richer across the seasons and asks really good questions like, are we even capable of doing good anymore because of how deeply interconnected we are with one another and how much harm our own existence brings to the world? And so just because we have simple rules doesn't mean that we get simple answers, but we keep working as children of God, with God's Spirit, to find new ways of being God's love in the world. And I've jotted down in my notes after this past week that the themes from camp, what these high schoolers, and actually they do the same themes across all the grade levels at camp. It's just they have different activities for the different grade levels. But this, if I can give you the wisdom that the high schoolers left with this past week, it's that this is going to require us to get real, to just be us. God created us because God loved us. And so if we're who God created us to be in authentic ways, that's the first step. And then from there, we can get to know one another, be curious about one another instead of judgmental, and get to know and grow in our faith and learn more about all of the other people and the rest of creation that also contain the image of God. And with all of that knowledge of God's love, that might lead to some wild ideas that take us into places where we least expect it, and we might end up looking like John the Baptist eating locusts and honey in the wilderness, or it might just look like the conversation with the person you least expected in the most unpredictable places. And then from there, when you realize that the rules are no longer helping us be God's love, we seek to change the rules of the game so that more people can be loved, more people can be saved, and more can experience God's grace. Because the end goal is that we get everyone at the table, that we go all in, that no one is left behind outside of the table of God's grace and love. And so, as we think about all of the ways that we get to be children of God in our world today, my hope is that we each find our own unique way to embody God's love for a world filled with so much pain. So let us pray. God, thank you for the wildest solution to what feels like some of the hardest problems. When we feel left behind, beat up and bruised, and unable to do much more for the kingdom of God, you offer us the simple solution of remembering that we are children of God. And so may your Spirit work in and through us so that we can love ourselves more, love one another more, and love the world more. In your name we pray. Amen.